go to thecognitiverampage.com. Keep fueling the change. Help continue to allow this to happen. None of this would happen without you and your love and your support. Love you.
The Cognitive Rampage, a scientific approach to self-discovery, change, and life optimization, is now available on Amazon. What I do in the book is I fuse the latest research from the cognitive, behavioral, social, environmental, and biological sciences. It's not just motivational fluff and wordplay. Now, I do talk about my own story, so there's some kind of inspiration in there, but I'm not just spinning words and hyping you up with motivational fluff. Whether you need a life change, simply enjoy self-exploration and optimization, want to discover new hidden passions, or reduce the life-altering effects of toil, anxiety, depression, all of those issues, this book is for you. This book is not a cookie-cutter method of steps to follow. You'll customize the scientific framework with your own personal beliefs to build your authentic change. That way you assimilate it faster. It's not just copying my beliefs and telling you step one, step two. These will come from your beliefs as how you extend and build the foundation upon this framework. You'll use this framework throughout your whole life, through every change, and through every age. These are not empty words of motivational spin. This book is an experience. The Cognitive Rampage is based in science and is built from your beliefs. It's a path to help you unleash your desired change. You can apply this method on your own with no harmful side effects.
Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. I have certainly been doing that the best that I can. Hope you've been doing the best you can as well. It's been a couple podcasts since I actually went live on a Facebook page here. I've been recording those because we had some pretty cool interviews lately. If you haven't seen those, anytime we have a guest on the podcast, we go live from a YouTube link. So if you haven't, go to the Cognitive Rampage, just Cognitive Rampage on YouTube. Subscribe to that page if you don't mind. But you can catch all of the, you can catch it live on the link, but then that's where it goes first. A lot of things get posted to YouTube before, but now we're back live on Facebook with a few topics most definitely to get to. I'm going to see if I can pull those topics up here right in front of me. Hope your week has ended well. On the past weekend, it got started off to a nice one. It is Monday. I decided to take the day and work outside. That's what I decided to do today. Didn't feel like working today, and it was Monday, worked all weekend. So I figured, I'm going to take Monday when everybody else is hustling and bustling, and I'm going to work in a yard, do some stuff on the house, man. Feel a little suburban, if you will. You know what I mean? But I think I can get to this comment on this side because I don't want to forget anybody. Anybody that's kind enough to or brave enough to comment either what they're going through, whether it's in the Tribe of Change or on the page or the comment on my homepage. I think it's going to be faster just to pull this thing through the phone, y'all. That way I can pull up some comments directly from the group. If you haven't asked to join the Tribe of Change, it is a closed group on Facebook that we run. We keep it closed for various reasons, but ask to join the Tribe of Change. One of the moderators in there will let you in, or myself will. It's not that it is some exclusive group or anything like that, but we just try to keep out a lot of riffraff, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? So that's why we do it. Yeah, what's up, Tim? Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Tim, Anthony, Tyler, Daniel Dye. Mr. Daniel Dye had a wonderful weekend. I know he did this weekend. So let me pull up the first topic here. I know I shared it in the Tribe of Change as well. So I like to get to the Tribe of Change members first. I love the Tribe. The Tribe of Change, I love you all. You've been so supportive for so many years. And what the Cognitive Rampage has done, what we've been doing and what we talk about. And, just a little recap, I have to remind people, that a lot of times I do this podcast to talk to myself, to preach to myself. I got told this weekend that I wasn't practicing what I preach. And frankly, I just said, look, that's why I keep preaching to myself. That's what I do. I mean, there's nothing in my life that I'm going through or have gone through that in some fashion, in some way, you haven't gone through as well. I don't, I mean, sure, we all have traumas a little more than the other, But again, I could walk down how trauma is subjective even in itself. What I like to say is ghetto's in the mind frame, right? And what I mean by that is whatever you call your ghetto, whatever's your pain, whatever's your trauma, whatever is your depression, whatever that is, well, it's that bad to you, right? So it's not about comparing it to other people. I mean, look, one of the phrases that a lot of people like to tell some other people when they're in the middle of going through something is, hey, could be worse. Yeah, it could be worse. Sure. I mean, it's still a negative spin on something. But the idea, one, I don't like that statement because telling somebody else it could be worse, it may put thoughts in their head that how could this get worse, right? How could we think it? And something I've said for a long time is my best friend Danny has reminded me many times, thoughts become things. What we think can manifest and become things. Whether that's even mental health diagnosis, I would say specifically mental health diagnoses, you know, whatever you're thinking about, you know, can become something. It can become real in your life, you know, and Patricia's been good helping me back down a lot of times when whatever I'm going through or I start to manifest through the power of the words that I choose, right? So, I mean, I think the first topic that I want to get into, I guess I'm already branching into it, is the idea of expectations, right? What expectations we set on ourselves, et cetera. Look, I've done a few podcasts too about expectations that, well, not only are expectations relationship killers, expectations are self-relationship killers. Whatever relationship you have with yourself and expectations you set, I'm telling you that expectations can be deadly to yourself. They can be deadly to your life. And if we set in expectations, right, we have to first understand the difference between standards, expectations, and preferences. You know, I urge people to find your standards of what those standards are, how much you'll take, what you can live with, what your base standard is. And that can be in relationships. And what I'm talking about more is yourself. You know, so when you can split up standard expectations and preferences, obviously expectations may be something we expect of ourselves, but we can't deliver to ourselves every time. Right. I write in my book about the word every time. You caught that one. It's a determinate word, meaning we are trying to determine a future using the vocabulary that we choose. So the determinate words of every time, right? If we have expectations and hope to meet them every time, we're going to run into problems, right? And preferences are like the icing on the cake. I'd prefer to have this or do that. I'd prefer to be doing this. But, you know, life is life. And a lot of times we don't get to our preferences right away or get to do what we prefer to do. Sometimes we got to do what we got to do, right? So first, splitting those expectations up. First, I'm going to tell you that expectations are deadly and expectations are set aside from goals. That's why I talk about having standards. You have a gold standard, if you will, your standard, your basis, your philosophy, your foundation, how you make choices, et cetera. These are the things that are your standards. Now, I expect myself to do this, or I expect myself, or I, especially if you're saying I expect others, you have a big issue saying I expect others, right? If we expect others to do things and they let us down, well, that's on you, right? Because you set that expectation in place. But again, we're talking about self today, right? So when we look at expectations, when we can break it down and what they really are, we can start to see them a little bit better, right? And then look, what's wrong with having expectations, somebody may say. Well, those expectations is what can set you up. When you expect to live a certain way, when you expect to have a certain life, when you expect a father, a brother, a partner to treat you in a certain way, well, now we're getting demanding of other people's behaviors, right? And then when people don't perform as we expect them to, well, then our expectations are let down, right? We may tell them, hey, you disappointed me, you hurt me, but I would offer and tell you that, no, you hurt yourself. Right. When we lay those expectations down upon ourselves and especially on others, we're walking down an irrational world, man. We cannot predict the future. Now, expectations are a difficult thing to deal with for many people because they are wrapped up in our principles. They're wrapped up in our goals. Right. Now, look, I'm all a fan of having goals when you need them. Right. When you want to set them. If I were to talk like many social media influencers, right? To come out, set goals, write it down, pursue those goals, right? But we're all not at the bottom of the barrel, right? We're all not trying to put our life all the way back together. Maybe we're doing what we're doing. We have our daily thing, right? And goals aren't a bad thing, but you have to be open and optimistic to the goals, right? Here's the conundrum about the idea. If we set goal C in our lives, right? And we're at A, and if we want to achieve goal C, Well, what happens when B, life happens? When B, life happens, well, that may change our goal. That may change our perspective, right? But if we're so focused on C, aka that goal, well, what we may miss are opportunities, ways to branch off, turn right, turn left, right? Other things. If we're so head in the sand about this is my goal, well, we can miss other opportunities and other things in life, right? But it's all right to have that goal too, because the conundrum here is the idea that if I'm so focused on a goal, I'm going to do what I got to do to get that goal done, right? And that's okay. It's how you choose to use that, right? Now, expectations can get wrapped up in goals, because if we set a goal, what do we set for ourselves? I expect myself to then achieve that goal, right? So if I'm dealing directly with other people, think of what you're really saying when you're really trying to say, I expect another person to behave like, I expect another person to speak to me like. Those expectations are messing yourself up. You're doing that to yourself. Thinking that you can actually control someone's futuristic behavior, what they may do in the future, you start to border on the idea of control, right? And then we start to then enforce our own beliefs onto other people's lives. If we start to say, I believe people should treat me this way, I believe fathers should be this way, I believe partners should be this way, well, that's okay. That's back to your standards, because this is what you believe, right? As long as you've combed through those beliefs and hopefully filtered out irrationalities. And there's a great book on how to do that called The Cognitive Rampage on Amazon. It's a shameless plug that you can pick up to walk you through those core beliefs and how to do it, right? But when we start saying, I expect others, especially expect self, then I think we're drifting away from that standard of life, because in expectations, the pull from Stoic philosophy here, right? The expectations we set upon ourselves set our own selves up for depression, for anxiety, for letdown, for sadness, for disappointment, because you cannot, in the end, control that person's response to you, right? Those expectations are killers. Now you see why I say expectations are relationship killers. But standards, when we can deviate, when we can move from the difference and say, these are my standards of myself. A standard of myself, I mean, you can pick one out of the sky, right? Will be not to respond in anger, will not to respond violently. In some fashion, right? You can set this expectation of yourself or the standard of yourself, because as long as we got that little wall of standards going, hey man, this is my philosophy. This is what I believe. Again, pick up the book, read it. It'll show you what your actual philosophy was. If I asked you right now, what's your life philosophy? Could you tell me? Or would you pull from some quote of somebody else's choosing, right? These aren't your beliefs then, right? So the idea of sticking to our own philosophy, how we make those choices, you need to know what those things are. What are your standards? What are your standards of yourself if we're dealing with direct expectations? But again, the reason we separate them is trying to find out what's the difference here. The difference here is a standard I can control. I can control the standard. I can control my own behavior. I can control especially how I'll speak to myself about other people's behaviors, words to me, actions toward or against me, right? So the difference to help you eliminate the power of those expectations is to first separate the differences, right? What are my standards, or am I living in expectations of myself and or others? If I'm living in the expectations of others, you are setting yourself up for a roller coaster of holy shit. You're setting yourself up because now you're allowing others to control your emotions, right? And technically, you're still creating those emotions yourself, right? It sounds good to say not let other people control your emotions. Well, they can't anyway. Even if you let them, they cannot, because it's the words that you choose, the literal words that you choose in response to their behavior to you. So when you choose the words inside your head, the thoughts that you have, those thoughts then create a feeling. Again, back to one of my core change of beliefs, right? One of the core principles to know, right, is the idea that what we believe creates what we think and how we think. How we think creates our feelings. Our feelings thus then predict behavior, not other people. So expectations play into that, to where if I'm with somebody and I have that expectation of something, they don't fulfill that expectation, I then have the belief that they should have. That's another one of my determinant words. Don't shoot all over yourselves. Well, then they should have performed this way, and since they didn't, thus I am now disappointed, right? That's a whole thought, right? I mean, that happens like this. We know, I mean, bam, all that happens fast, but it's hard to really stop and realize, well, all that's based in something I believe, that's controlling how I think. And then I then filter what someone is doing, their behavior, their words toward me through my own filter. Then I create words based on that that doesn't match me. I then create how I feel. So if expectations, and then you can flip that back to yourself, right? If I have an expectation of self, to separate those two is what you can control. That's funny, man. Steve Stone, give me a call right now in the middle of a live podcast. What's up, Steve? Steve's been a part of the Cognitive Rampage for a long time, right? So the separation between those two are what you can control. What you can't control. If you spend so much time worrying and trying to fix things out of your control, you will forget to live your own life, right? So that separation between and knowing, see, that's another thing because that leads to anxiety, right? Is knowing the difference. I tell people to get competent. In competence, it can lower the redlining of anxiety. And now what you've just learned tonight listening, you can't unlearn. Right. And so the idea you can't unlearn that there's a difference between standards and expectations, and that difference, that border of those two that separates it, is what I can control. I set my standards. I control myself. I control my thoughts. I control what I believe, and I control how much I allow my thoughts to manifest. If I allow those thoughts to manifest, well, then I'm going and self-creating the feelings that I then have. So the feelings I'm self-creating because I believe that's what it should be. You're generating yourself. You're making yourself upset. You're making yourself anxious. Not what other people are doing. But if we begin to think the opposite, well, then those thoughts become things. And I would tell you, yeah, that is what's happening, especially if you believe it, right? So understanding and dealing with expectations, the first line of defense is to set out first, try not to have any expectations. I'm serious. I know it sounds anti what a lot of goal setters and social media influencers would tell you about, well, this is how you live life. This is what I was told, actually. So I've downloaded that as my own beliefs. And that's fine. Goals can be helpful during projects, during something you want to finish, right? But again, if we set those expectations on others, we thus then create our own maladaptive feelings or bad feelings. We're doing that ourselves. And so what are your standards? What are your standards? What are your standards of self? And then what you have to do is go back and question even the standards you have for yourself to say, are these standards of my own belief, or are they standards that I've allowed society, my parents, the social environment that I'm in to set my standards? See, so if we can then differentiate not only between expectations and standards, right? The big borderline of that being what I can control. I cannot control other people. So those fall into expectations. Dangerous, right? But if I can control those things, then I'm living in my own philosophy. I'm living within my own standard. What are your standards of yourself, right? And then going back through and looking at the standards of self and saying, are these standards of myself, or are these standards that have been placed here by who I was raised by, or the society or the environment that I was in most of the time, right? So clarifying and getting competent, back to that again, getting competent about what expectations and standards really are based on what you believe and being able to separate the two, what will pop out, right? First, you're going to bring down the redlining anxiety, the stress that is being caused that you believe by other people or expectations that I'm telling you is being caused by your own self expectations. We can bring that redlining anxiety down, get a little competent on going, wait a minute, I'm setting expectations of others and how they should treat me or what they should say to me and or my own. I'm adding expectations, maybe even adding preferences to my own standards to which I can control. So why am I doing this to myself? We can separate those two and go, hey, are these standards even mine? Are they even what my standard of whatever it is you're trying to feel? Call that happiness, whatever it would be, success in some way, if those standards are reached. But be careful that the standards you set, those core beliefs that you find, are not coming from other people, that they are truly yours, that you have rationally self analyzed, right? That's one of the tools of change in my book, Rational Self-Analysis, is using that tool of rational self-analysis to split those up, to split up the beliefs of yourself and what's been put there by other people and finding that separation, right? So expectations become an issue. Expectations are then dissolved this way. Look, when you can say, well, I can only control what I can control. I can't control other people. You can teach people how to treat you, but you can't control other people. So if you're setting yourself up for what other people should do or how other people should treat you, stop doing it to yourself. I mean, that's blatant how you're doing it to yourself, right? So if we're dealing with those expectations, we have to separate the two, the standard, the expectation, and the preference. If we spend our whole lives chasing our preference, well, good luck. Because if we chase our preferences from the beginning, well, we sacrifice our standards many times to achieve the preference. And our expectations are littered throughout all of our life choices. We don't want to do it backwards. We don't want to hunt our preferences, build more expectations, and then set our standards based on those things. It's the reverse of that. Figure out what your standards are. Because standards are what you can control. I can control my own standards, and if I'm not living up to my own standards, those are choices that you can make yourself. Expectations are relationship killers. Expectations are self-relationship killers. How you talk to yourself, what you expect of yourself. Definitely go deeper into some Stoic philosophies as well when you're dealing with expectations. Because you have almost threefold here. You got society expectations, you got self-expectations, and for many people, you have your parents' expectations, right? That has a key, it has a role in there. And when we can separate those two, we can say, man, what are my standards? And if as long as I'm living my standards, well, I can control those standards. I can control myself, how I respond to others, how I download other people's behavior toward me, thoughts toward me, etc. And make sure that your expectations do not litter and entwine your goals, right? Because if you expect to achieve every goal, hear that word every, right? Then you're setting yourself up for failure. I mean, so many of us are bombarded daily about what our lives should be. Shooting all over ourselves. Society tells us, marketing tells you, your parents tell you. Heck, most of the things that we like, we think is our own idea of why we like it. Next thing we know, we realize, man, society told me I should like this. If I'm this kind of person, I should like this. If I'm this kind of person, I should set goals. See how much we shoot all over ourselves? And the more we do that, the more we just litter our lives and our choices with expectations, irrational expectations, a lot of times based on irrational thoughts and beliefs. But again, you got to learn to separate beliefs from thoughts, from feelings to behavior. You can't just have a feeling, okay? A lot of times we use those words. Oh, I have a feeling. You can't just have a feeling, okay? You had a thought that created the feeling, and then you behaved by saying what that thought was, right? We create those feelings, in quotes, right? We have that power. And what we think or how we think stems from what we believe. Our brain is so amazing. It moves so fast, so quickly, that unless we slow down and tear it apart, unpack it, as the new slang is today, if we unpack that process that happens in a split second, we can separate those things, right? See, in order to move, to survive, to respond in this world, in this society, well, we have to kind of set our beliefs. Once we set our beliefs about things, then we know how to respond, what to think, what we should say. That's why you see a lot of divide in this country. You see the red-blue divide, because when you can assign a belief to a party or a group, well, then I can respond immediately to things because my thoughts are just coming. How I think is stemming from what I believe. And then how I think determines what I feel. You hear people tell you, well, just think positive. Well, it's very difficult to just think positive if what you believe about yourself, others, and the world is based in a negative connotation, right? If everything filters this way, if you're watching live, right? Think about it like this, right? If we got the plants right here, the roots are started. If the roots that start our lives or our choices start to grow up, and those roots, right, I like to call them your core principle beliefs, your core beliefs, if you will, what you believe about self, others, and the world. These are your core beliefs, right? And as those core beliefs start to build, well, what grows on top of those roots of your beliefs are how you think. They web out more. I think this about this. I think this about sports. I think this about politics. I think this about music, this about food, school, friends, others, right? And that webs out into how we think. This is how we think. And then how we think then determines how we feel, which are the leaves on top of that thing as it starts to sprout. So how we feel, the bloom of that tree is coming from the branches and the trunk of how we think, based in the roots of what we believe. But we have to move quickly in this world, right? So if I just trim the tree back a little bit, if I don't like how I feel on the outside, right? If I'm well, if I'm disturbed by how I feel, or if I believe in quotes, others make me feel a certain way, well, we can do all sorts of things to talk about what we can do to make you feel better, in quotes, right? We can cut some leaves off or something like that, or hope for fall, and then they'll all just fall off, right? But no matter what, the branches that are sprouting those leaves, that fruit, those blossoms off of your tree, this is how we think. And if how we think is rooted in some sort of negative, irrational belief, well, then you can follow that all the way back. So if you want to fix a problem, what do? You go to the root of that problem, don't you? So the root of the problem about expectations is what you believe about yourself, others, and the world. So if you're having trouble with how you feel, that means somewhere along the line, there's a branch that's connected to a root deep inside about what you believe about the world, others, and self. I would quickly argue that, you know, if you believe others should treat you fairly and you believe the world is fair, I'm going to tell you, you have two irrational beliefs right there, aka negative, right? I don't like to use positive negative because negative can produce a positive in our lives. So to label things as negative, hell, the worst times of my life have given me the best times of my life, right? Hence why I try to stay. But for this conversation, I'll keep it to positive, negative rather than rational, irrational, right? So if I can go all the way down to that root, let's imagine I got three main seeds, right? These seeds have come together. What I believe about self, others, and the world are the seeds here. Those seeds come together and they begin to sprout and they kind of make that trunk that starts to come out in how we think. And if how we think, if one of those seeds is negative, irrational, right? Skeptical, doubtful, sad. If one of those beliefs about self, others, in the world are thus, well, classified as that, well, our fucking trunk is diseased. It has that little thread of negativity that just spreads, right? And then look, when you have to go back and question what you believe, that's a difficult thing to do because, well, what you believe is what you believe. You've been through it. You saw those people that hurt you. You saw that partner that cheated on you. You saw that parent that abused you, right? I've experienced it. You were there. You can't tell me that that didn't happen, right? So trying to question what we have believed, because remember, our beliefs come from what our experiences have been, right? Your experience on the roller coaster of life is that that's your truth, right? So can we question our own truth? I've often said, and I'll say it again, if you ride a roller coaster, you tell me it's not scary. I ride the roller coaster and tell you it was scary as hell. Who's telling the truth? It's perception, right? So if we can know, if we can at least grasp the idea that what we experience, what we have experienced is our perception, those perceptions, those experiences over time with an individual, with life, with society, with our parents, with ourself, if those experiences, what concretes those three beliefs, well, then I urge you, I can talk to you all day about how to make yourself feel better about expectations as I walked into this podcast trying to trim the leaves for you. But if you really want to fix it, you really want to make that change, you have to go down to the root of that problem and figure out what belief of yours about others, self, the world, which one of those beliefs somehow begins to create that first seed of irrationality, of negativity, sometimes even over-optimistic. It's irrational to think that everybody should love me or I love everybody, right? This can be irrational too, right? We can go too far on the optimistic side because then when people let you down, oh my God, then you're hurt when life kicks you in the teeth and you're like, oh my God, right? You can quickly turn that to a negative belief based on those experiences. But if you want to deal with expectations, you want to deal with relationships, you want to deal with insecurities or stress even, any of these things all go back to what you believe. And are you willing to question your own experiences and modify that perception to be something else? And it takes time. It can be what feels like an instant fix. It can bring down that redlining of stress, worry, these things, depression. It can bring it down by knowing those things. And it takes time to rework it because what? It takes a while for a tree to grow. It takes a while. Not something overnight. Competence can ease the redlining of stress and anxiety, but are we able to question ourselves, right? I mean, for instance, if you're stressed out because of school or work, right? You're overstressed. You may be telling yourself, I'm overstressed. Well, thoughts become things. Thoughts become reality. Well, maybe you feel like you should be stressed out, right? Are we tough enough to go down and say, wait, I'm doing this to myself? See, it's much easier. It's much easier to go, they did it. School's doing it. Life's doing it. My job's doing it. My boss is doing it. My partner's doing it. My kids are doing it. My parents are doing it. It's them. Because if we can put it off on they, them, or everyone, Well, then it's out of our control, right? Well, then if it's out of our control, what realm are we in? We're now in the expectation realm. It's out of our control. Because really, it is out of your control. Others, their behavior responses to you are, this is out of your control. What is in your control are your standards and what those standards are and what you believe about those standards. And that's how we pause. Hear yourself. I say to become an observer of your thoughts, not a reactor. Or are you just reacting? Do you have every thought and think, well, I thought it must be true? As Leo would tell me, right? Just because you think it doesn't make it so and feelings aren't facts. Well, no, I feel this way. I feel this way. Imagine, think when people are angry or when they're upset or when they're hurt, what do they keep telling you? I'm hurt. I'm angry. I'm pissed off. They're convincing themselves through repetitive thought to keep up the feeling that they then have. I'm guilty too. I mean, as we keep responding this way, this is what we're saying to ourselves. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I'm stressed. I'm anxious. And as we continue to say those things, I'm stressed out. I'm stressed out. I'm overworked. I'm picket. Do you see how the branches of how you think begin to shape the leaves or the fruit or the blossoms on your tree? You see how this works? Are you stressed because you're telling yourself you are? Maybe your biology is responding and letting you know. And this is making that right turn. That biology, that response for so long, and often I get tons of messages about, hey, how do I deal with depression? How do I deal with anxiety? How do I deal with the stress? Well, look, pay attention to it for one. Because if you're feeling it, if your biology is responding to you in this way, if your neurology is responding to you in this way, perhaps it's an alarm. See, I like to look at those things as alarm going, hey, something isn't right here. And your body and your mind is going, get us the fuck out of here. It's telling you, right? It's trying to tell you something. And if we just take antidepressants, we just, whatever we got to do to quiet those things, we're just treating our own little symptoms. We're not listening to the alarm, right? Remember when car alarms first came out? For some of you watching, maybe too young, but I remember when they first came out. If you heard one, people looked around. They were like, oh, I don't see anybody breaking into a car. Look, and now you hear them so often, you don't even pay attention. Well, so when the alarms go off in our mind, when our biology is responding with a, quote, stress response, well, are we just going, eh, it's nothing. What can I do to get rid of the stress? Pay attention to the alarms if they're going off. And you have to have coping skills, right? Mechanisms to respond to the stress. A lot of times, just cutting it off is what works for me. I stack up so many creative projects that I will go, oh my God, I did not realize how much I'm doing. Then my biology starts to respond. My neurology is responding. It's going, ah, I'm stressed. I can't sleep or something's happening, right? And then I literally go, wait, oh, I'm listening. I'm doing too much. I got to cut a project or two. I got to cut this down. And then I cut that out. Boom, boom, boom. Make the choice. Don't sit in the toil. Cut it off, right? If you're toiling over, oh, I got so much to do. We're then, again, back to us. We're choosing that. We're choosing the toil. We're choosing the projects. We're choosing not to cut the projects. We're choosing not to say no. We're choosing to say yes. We're choosing to believe what we think. We're choosing that our feelings are facts rather than knowing we're making ourselves feel this way. It's hard. It's hard. Trust me, I get it. It's so much easier to just be like, other people are pissing me off. No, we're pissing ourselves off. We're making ourselves mad because what we have are expectations on the forefront, buried in beliefs, the roots of how we think and how we feel, of how others should treat ourselves, how should treat us, how the world should be. Here are my shoulds, shouldn't on ourselves, or how I should be. When we have all of those stacked up, our beliefs, how we're thinking, they become infected. I mean, it can go so far to psychosis. It can go very, very far mentally. You can walk yourself right into a hole so big you think Alice in Wonderland was a shallow place to be. Your mind can just drift off and take yourself into depressive places, anxious places, right? But you have to make choices. You have to cut those things off, have responses to what's happening, and then know what you can control. Know what part of you you can control. Because you can't control any part of other people, especially the world. And when you focus on trying to do those things around you, you're going to build yourself up to be stressed. You're going to build yourself up that way. Insecurities or something else all entwined to this. The words we're choosing, right? Stress, expectations, insecurities. Again, insecurities are set by the standards that you have. If you have standards, again, I'm back to where you have to question and know what your standards are of yourself, and then be able to question those standards. Just because you know them, again, doesn't mean they're fact. Just because you think it or believe it doesn't mean it's fact. The roller coaster, truth, perception, right? We can change those perceptions, change that story. We can do all of those things. So our perception is where our power lies, not in other people. Our insecurities, we have to go, what are my standards of myself? And how did these standards get here? Did these standards get here because I watched my mother before me, or I watched my father before me, or because I've been told that this is what I'm supposed to be, right? Supposed to be is another one, another determinant word of irrationality. So if we have insecurities about certain things, we are then creating those things to be insecurities in ourselves. And to be able to pull up those insecurities is we have to find what are the roots of those insecurities. And if your response to that is, well, when I was 12, I was picked on a lot. Well, these are other people's behavior towards you that you've then allowed to become your standards. It set the precedent for you. You're giving that power continuously. So insecurities are, we can get over any insecurity, I'm just telling you. And well, I'm insecure about talking in front of groups. I'm insecure about being in a relationship. I'm insecure in relationships. I'm insecure at my job, right? Job insecurity. All of those are rooted in the beliefs about what a job should be, what your 401k should be or look like, what your house should be, what you should look like. Then we have to be able to question, how did they get there? Am I letting society's marketed standards and social constructs infect my own life enough to where I'm willing to believe and think myself to feel insecure? We create our own problems. We create our own stress. We create our own anxiety. We create our own depression. We create those things. Now, I'm telling you, the environmental influence is very powerful. But if we try to then control everything in our environment, good luck. Now, you can. You can make harsh decisions, leave the job, leave your partner. You can change those things, right? You can certainly change your environment. I mean, it's not one fold. What I'm talking about is one fourth of this, just the cognitive aspect, just on how we think, right? Cognitive is thinking, right? To think cognitively thinking. If we're thinking, we can control how we think. This is just part four. I mean, they're just one of four. I mean, I wrote the whole book on the idea that this is just four. You have biology that's influencing you, your environment that's influencing you, all of these things that are shaping what you believe about the world, others, and self that then shape how you think then controls what you feel. Can we get all the way down to the roots of our beliefs, question those things, begin to change how we think, but it takes time. It takes a little time because we have to change it, and the best way to change it is how it got there in the first place. What we've experienced, created perceptions that we've downloaded to be beliefs about self, others, and the world that then manifest the branches of how we think that then blossom the fruits, that then sprout the leaves and the fruits, the blossoms of our trees, aka our feelings, right? We have to go back to those all the way down. But I mean, not only biology, sleep, nutrition, all of these things add into it, and they are huge. You are inundated with it on the weekly basis about exercise, nutrition, eating right, right? Well, these things are fucking real, man. Just go work outside, be in the sun. I mean, there's other implications about light exposure, blue light exposure. I mean, it is insane on how far it goes, and we've covered all of those topics on this podcast. Go back and watch Dr. Jack Cruz. He'll educate you about light, blue light exposure, missing sunlight, etc. These things are detrimental to your biology, man. I mean, what I'm talking about here with stress, anxiety, expectations, all of these things are influenced from our environmental, our social perspective, our social constructs, the communities we live in, the places we spend our time at. They influence and or reinforce it, I think is a better word. To say they reinforce what we believe, what you believe about your work environment, your parents, your friends, your social groups, whatever you believe about that is then, I don't like influence as much as I like. They are reinforced. Those environments reinforce it because you go out into the world, somebody cuts you off on I-4 and you go, yep, I knew it. Other people are assholes, right? So if this is our belief about others, well, people just help us reinforce those beliefs about others. But if that, again, is one of your beliefs, people are assholes, what do you think about others? That's one of the seeds that have sprouted the trunk of your mind and how you think. It's helping you keep continuing how you feel about others. And you wonder why it's hard to be open with somebody else, to trust somebody else. You think it's because other people hurt you. Other people lied to you. Other people have hurt me in the past. And because of them is why I'm mistrusting. No, it's because you changed a belief a long time ago based on experience or had one, and that shaped the branches of how you think, that shape how you feel, that people can't be trusted. Or all people are assholes. So we can drift around in the symptoms all day. Pick your words: stress, anxiety, expectations, depression, insecurity, sadness. Pick them. Anger. We can pick it and play around that cognitive realm all you want to. I mean, but that is influential. How we think, what you believe, that shapes what we feel. These are the things that then predict our behavior. Then how we behave over time reinforces what we believe about ourselves. If we perform poorly based on our own expectations, notice I didn't say standards, we perform poorly, then we are using our behavior and other people's behavior toward us. This is another reinforcer of what we choose to believe about the world, others, and self. I mean, so biology, all of these things, right? So I'm trying to give you front line trench tools and weapons here when I'm telling you about the cognitive approach to, well, how you feel, if you will. It's just easy to go, I feel this way, and you're the reason I feel this way. Because it's harder to question our own shit. It's harder to question our own roller coaster ride, our own experience of that person, others, and ourselves, and our own behavior even, to go back and say, wait a minute. Why am I doing this to myself? Because it's easier to blame others than change ourselves. It's just easier. So playing in that realm is, well, easy for me to do with you. It's, can you play in that realm? Can you question yourself, your own beliefs? Can you follow? Can you look at your whole tree of thought? Are you willing to go into the roots of what you believe, those core beliefs I write about first in my book, right? What do you believe about self, others, and the world? Can we rationally self-analyze those beliefs in order to then eventually change the branches on the tree? That's why I tell you, if you're in the bottom, a lot of times, just, well, pull that whole thing out, pull that whole plant up from the roots, throw it out and plant some new seeds and start over. But a lot of us aren't, well, that far gone yet. We're not that deep into it, right? We just got to change a few beliefs, change a few thoughts here. And we can change those things and bring that redlining down of what we allow in our lives. See, perspective is another good thing to do. And I'll just give you a little tool you can use that helps you, well, get some perspective. Perspective helps you change your perception, right? When you can convince yourself. I call it the top five. Another little tidbit from Leo, my mentor I got a long time ago. It's also in the book too. But you take the top five for a minute and you say, look, if you were dying in 5 days, is how you're responding to this, that person, or even your own thoughts that important? Would it be a top five if you had 5 days left to live? If your answer is no to that, then follow by asking yourself, then why am I treating it like a top five? Why am I treating what's happening to me, or my feeling, why am I treating this like a top five, or am I overthinking this to where it feels like it, and now what I've thought has become a thing? Is it a top five? If you were dying in 5 days, is what you're dealing with in the moment a top five? Would you even care? That perspective can also help and go, wait a minute, what am I doing over and over and over again? Why am I doing this to myself, right? But don't get too trapped up and go down the wall about why you do it to yourself, right? We can ask why to our beliefs, how we think, what we believe, our own experiences of that roller coaster. We can question and ask why to those things and realize how open then it becomes. I write about how life can be Play-Doh in your hands. We can shape it. That's the cool part about it. That's the superhero idea of all of us. The superhero, your superpower, if you will, when you really think about it, when you really go deep into it and think about it, that really it's perception. What you have, the expectations are coming from your perception. Your beliefs create your thoughts create your feelings. Those things create your philosophy. Those philosophies are based in your experiences. Those experiences lead in to standards that set your standards that then breed your expectations. And your preferences just come from your multiple experiences. Can we go all the way back and question, again, your superhero is to be able to do that. That's your superpower. Like, that's one, it'll blow your mind if you never really thought about it. But that's why I say that roller coaster all the time. If you ride it, it's not scary. I ride it, it's scary. Is the roller coaster scary? To him, it is. To her, it isn't. But is it scary or not? I need to know. Well, write it yourself, they tell you. Right? Well, that's life, man. And you're writing it yourself. You can literally take whatever you've experienced, change how you tell that story, change the narrative to that story, and next thing you know, you're a hero. I mean, explain how someone can use what they've been through as a reason to do something different, and some people use what they've been through as an excuse to do what they do. What's the difference? What's the difference in the what? Just how they tell that story, just what their beliefs are about it. And I look, you may be listening to this now going, I hear you, man. Yeah, whatever. It ain't that easy. Well, especially if you believe that. It ain't like that. I mean, you got to be there. If it happened to you, it'd be different, right? We keep justifying our reasons to allow ourselves to do those things to ourselves because it's easier to put it on other people, on the world, our environments. And not taking away that those things cannot be influential, because I'm telling you, they are. That's why my book tells you about all of them and how you change all of those angles. Again, we're just talking about 1/4, 1/5, 1/6 of it, of how we think. What is the conversation like? What is the weather like in your head? If I gave you a microphone right now, like I got, and I said, tell me about your life, would you be like, well, let me tell you. Would it be some long, drawn-out drama? Right? How would you tell that story? Would it be comedic? What kind of movie would it be? How you tell that story? And we have that superpower to be able to change that perception, change that experience, and turn it into something different, tell that story different, thus creating different thoughts about that experience that then changes how we feel about the experience we've been through. And you can do that with anything. Your past, your trauma, in quotes, your relationship, the one that hurt you, your parents, you can do that with anything and make it what you want and tell that story like your life is the epic hero journey, which is something I've talked about tons on this podcast. Stress, expectations, our thoughts and things we place on ourselves that are influenced or reinforced by our environments, by our society, by our parents, by our experiences. And those thoughts surely can become things. I promise you that. So the more you say you're stressed, the more you say you're insecure, the more you will reinforce the belief that you are stressed and you are insecure. You are the superhero to your life. You can make those choices on your own to change the vocabulary, to question those experiences and question those beliefs, to overcome any of those experiences. And remember, ghetto's in the mind frame. No one's ghetto is worse than the others. That's why I like to say that. If somebody will tell you, well, it could be worse. Don't tell me that, man. I know it could be worse, and I don't want to think about how it could be worse. And frankly, this is my ghetto. This is my shit. So for me, it's terrible. But then question yourself and say, but is this a top five? If I had 5 days left to live, would I still be responding this way to what's happening to me currently? Or would you question those things? Or can you? Can you question your own experiences of life, others, and yourself? Can you question your own self experience? This becomes a deep issue because thoughts become things. Medical conditions can even become things just by thinking those things over and over again. The expectations will tear you apart. They are relationship killers. They are self-relationship killers. Hell, man, they can drive you to want to kill yourself because you don't meet those expectations. Be careful on the goals that you set because you may miss some serious opportunities in life focused on that goal. And then when you don't meet those goals, well, you may then add to yourself that, well, I've failed or I didn't meet my own expectations. Understand the difference between standards, expectations, and preferences. That standards are something that we can control. Expectations are things that we place on others in the world things we cannot control. When you understand those differences, then be willing to go deeper into your own standards and see and ask, where did they come from? Why is this a standard? And then question even your answer to that and your answer to that, and be willing to change it. Be willing to change your own story, how you've been telling it and how you tell it now. Stop reinforcing it. Stop reinforcing other people's behavior with what you believe that download to become thoughts about how you should feel. You have to be willing to change those, y'all. Failing is okay. There. I made it through a whole podcast and finally sounded like everybody else that's trying to socially influence you. Fail forward. As the cliche goes so many times. But certainly, fail forward. That one I'll adhere to. I like that. Fail. As Patricia says, even if you do, you'll just wind up right back where you currently were. The beautiful part about all this, you can control it. You can make the choices. You can move environments. You can add new people, cut old people. You can change how you tell your story. Even if how you've experienced it has been the story you've wanted to tell. Because I would tell you, you're doing it to yourself. If we give our experiences power, if we say the reason I'm insecure is because I got picked on, you're giving that time power. You're giving away your power. You're literally taking the superpower we talked about now and said, I don't want to use it. Nope. The stuff I've been through is just too much, and it matches what life shouldn't be. And because it doesn't match the perfect little mapping line of what life shouldn't be or what people shouldn't do, therefore it downloads into an expectation of going, oh, I could have had a better parent. I could have had a better partner, but it was just too much. And because I got blessed with this, that, and the other, or cursed with this, that, and the other, I just can't catch a break. And, you know, I'm supposed to be this way because, well, that's what I've been through. And since I've been through that, then I must have this. And must is one of those last determinate words that I like to say, masturbation, that you think it over and over and over, and then you're masturbating that it must be true. That it must be true that I feel anxiety because I've had this. It must be true that I'm depressed or I'm insecure or I'm stressed out, well, because of this, because of all of these things. And if they are ringing off, if the biology is going off, if a stress response is happening, then maybe you should pay attention to it and then be willing to make choices, cut things off, add new things, add more coping skills, find different ways, use flow state, find new things, try new things to take your mind off of it. Now we're talking about one of the last parts about my book, right? The ID inventory. But you're going to have to read about that one. I'm not going into that one on this podcast. Don't give your superpower away, man. Don't give it to other people. Don't let society take it from you. Don't let the environment you're in take it from you. Keep your standards, but be willing to question those standards. Not in the moment, not while you're sitting there going, should I? Question them later in a time of peace and quiet mind. When you're ready to analyze self, not self-criticize. There's a difference between self-criticism and self-analysis. Self-criticism usually comes with exclamation points and periods. This is how you tell the difference. The difference between self-analysis and self-criticism, although closely related, is simple punctuation. Self-analysis comes with asking why, not making statements, asking questions. Criticism, self-analysis are different. We must learn, as you heard me, learn to become an observer of our thoughts, not a reactor. But again, be careful of what you must do, because if we must do it, well, we may be setting an expectation of ourselves that's irrational, because yes, we all are human, and we will mess up. It can happen. We will make those errors, those irrational thoughts of, well, I must be an observer of this thought. And then when you're not, another reason to say, well, I failed at that too. So this is why I say learn to become an observer of your thoughts, not a reactor. Just because you think it doesn't make it so. Just because you feel it, it certainly isn't a fact. and know the difference between standards and expectations. Gain some competence to lower the anxiety so you can become confident. Know what those are and know the difference between self-analysis and self-criticism. It's simple punctuation. Self-criticism is not self-analysis. Judging your own behavior, judging other people's behavior, placing them into small categories of negative, bad, good, better. These are terrible things. Change the punctuation. Self-analyze, belief analyze, behavior analyze. But don't analyze too long before you need to make a choice. Use that behavior and then test your behavior. It's like a science experiment, right? Have your hypothesis, create the experiment, test the experiment, look at the results, and go back and try it again. Don't make statements about who you are. Don't make statements about who others are and what the world is. Now you're just self-criticizing, laying out those concrete beliefs for the whole world to see, bearing your beliefs butt naked. But learn to self-analyze and simply change the punctuation and ask why. Why am I treating this like a top five? Why am I allowing others' behavior to control what I feel about myself? Why am I allowing the social influencers to control what I believe about myself? Pull out the irrationalities of those beliefs. Be willing to question them and change the story to those things and plant different roots if you have to. But it's not too late. You can control those things yourself. You can make those changes because that's your superpower. And that's how you live your cognitive rampage. I hope you're taking care of you. This has been a fun one. I love you. Thanks for hanging. It's okay to take care of you. Don't be so hard on yourself. Give yourself a break. Look, if you're complaining about how life never gives you a break, then by God, give yourself a break, yeah? Appreciate everybody listening. The podcast popping out on iTunes. If you would, please, if you have an iPhone, when the show's over, just tap on the iTunes app you got on your phone, search Cognitive Rampage, and just subscribe to it. And if you're already subscribed to it, go back to it and leave a review. A kind one is very kind of you. If you got some negative to say and you feel you got to tell the world, then, well, I can't stop you. But reach out to me first. Maybe we can try something different. But the reviews really help. We got ranked number 10 in alternative health podcast. There's a reason I put the Cognitive Rampage in alternative health. So any kind of love that I can get on iTunes with a review, subscribing, any of that stuff is wonderful. And well, cognitive gratitude to all of you that do so. And the book is always is, well, see, always is one of those irrational words. It's not always. One day it won't be on Amazon, right? Someday. But it's available on Amazon now. It's only 10 bucks. Buy that book. It comes with the free ebook at the same time. I'm also looking to, I'm going to put some gear out here soon that's available. Special order hats that I think I'm going to do. I get a lot of people going, I want one of those hats, so we're going to make that happen. Just not sure if we'll do all sets, white, gray, camouflage, black, all of it. We're designing a new shirt, so we're going to do something different. But look for those things to come out. You can always go to adamlowry.com, L-O-W-E. Or why, like Mike Lowry, adamlowry.com, or cognitiverampage.com. See everything that's going on there. Check out the other podcast that I started there. It's called The Fight Life. I'm looking to interview some more athletes along the way as I'm writing my third book, Athlete's Depression. I typed a little bit on that book just the other day, so it felt good to kind of be back in a groove of typing. I'm trying to write this book from a different perspective, more like an investigative perspective. So look for the Athlete's Depression book to start emerging soon. So on The Fight Life on adamlowry.com, I've done a couple episodes there. A few other things you can check out too. If you've got the book and you're trying to get copies of the forms that are in there, you can download those on the website as well. And, well, go to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to that because a lot of the videos and playlists you'll find on adamlowry.com are also on YouTube as well. So We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Subscribe, follow, share, all those little buttons, click things. They really help. So appreciate everybody. Again, hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage.